When I was a little boy, I remember one Thanksgiving we visited my grandfather's family. They lived on a ranch in Fraser Park, just off the I-5 at the top of the Grapevine. I remember it was cold that year. There wasn't much snow on the ground yet, but it was magical to be surrounded by the forest and by nature just the same. This was one of the few Thanksgivings I actually spent with my grandparents, so I must have been around 6 or 7 years old. I want to pause this story to let you folks know that this was a working ranch, which means that livestock was slaughtered for food, and I learned that you don't make friends or treat the animals like pets because they may end up on your table. I also want to preface this with the caveat that there were no animals hurt on this day, though I know that that was the original plan. I'm thinking it was more personal feelings that were hurt. Thanksgiving is on a Thursday, and we arrived on Tuesday night on the ranch. My grandpa's grandfather, whom I called Pappy, was having a lively discussion about a goose in his own paddock off to the side. This was an evil, ornery Doublebird. Anytime Pappy would go out to feed it, it would tempt to charge the fence or bite him. I was chased a few times by this goose and bitten for good measure because I'd gotten too close. This gander was incredibly aggressive with the other birds. Specifically, he hated the ducks and the turkeys. It was decided that since this goose had apparently chased off the two hen turkeys that were meant to be for Thanksgiving dinner, he was going to take their place. Pappy was gleefully grinding and sharpening his axe. I remember him showing me how sharp it was. He sliced the piece of paper in front of him, onion skin thin. Pappy might have wanted to take joy in this particular slaughter, but he never wanted an animal to suffer. He wanted to be quick. It was decided that Pappy and my grandpa would get up early the next morning to do the deed. My grandma was always careful to make sure that I was never around to witness when this happened, so she planned on keeping me and my cousin David busy with Mammy in the kitchen making dinner sides for that night. The next morning was this feisty gander's day of reckoning. I heard that goose honking up a storm as my grandfather's took him to meet his fate on the chopping block. I heard the thump of the axe come down, followed by more honking and a small string of expletives. Grandma and Mammy looked at each other quizzically, but kept me and my cousin busy making melon balls for the fruit salad. The axe came down again. The honking was louder, and my pappy was cursing like a sailor on shore leave. The axe came down again. This time the honking was so loud that it woke up the dead. And both my grandmothers dropped the apples that they were peeling and they ran out the back door. I was morbidly curious, so I followed them out onto the back porch. There were my grandfathers chasing that darn goose around the yard. He was still very much alive, though his neck was kinked sideways, like a garden hose. He ran for his pet, and he hid himself under a pile of hay. Pappy was fit to be tied, and my grandpa and my grandmothers were laughing so hard that they were in tears. The goose survived to live another day, and the story lives on. After his brush with death, that goose became a little less ornery. He didn't snap or bite at anything again. He also calmed down a little bit more with the addition of a female goose. But for the longest time, that's what Thanksgiving meant to me. It was a time to be with my family, a time for celebration, silly stories just like that, and good food. It was a period to be together, reminiscing about times of the past, like the Thanksgiving goose. Sure, I heard the story about the pilgrims and the Mayflower and the kind Indians who shared their feast with them at a time that they needed community. I made hand turkeys, you remember those? The cute little poster board cut out pilgrim hats and Indian headbands with a single feather in the back. I went to school in the 80s, y'all. It wasn't exactly PC yet. It was stories like that, a shared meal, and visits with family not seen regularly that made the holidays extra special to me. It was when I was exiting elementary school and entering middle school that the narrative actually changed for me and for a lot of others. We started to hear about the Pilgrims not being all that nice of a people, and how they massacred a lot of the natives. And those that did not massacre were sold into slavery. Plymouth itself was effectively a graveyard. Previous explorers exposed the natives to disease, and they decimated their populations. The only reason the Pilgrims survived was because of the abandoned stores of grain and food that were left behind by the decimated tribes. I didn't know this. The holiday that we know as Thanksgiving wasn't even celebrated like it was in the stories. There were many, many more Native peoples involved than there were settlers. Some accounts say of 90 to 100. And they provided most of the food. It was the signing of the treaty that would allow the Pilgrims to establish and maintain the Plymouth plantation. There was no mention of turkey being served at that 1612 bounty, and there was no pie. Settlers lacked butter and wheat to make flour for a crust. They had no oven for baking. They most likely had fry bread. What is known is that the pilgrims harvested crops, mostly root vegetables because they were hardy, and the Wapananoag brought 5 deer. There are primary source writings about wild turkey being abundant in this area around the fall, yet it didn't specifically mention that they were at the first Thanksgiving, said Tom Bagley, executive director at the Plymouth Plantation. I got a chance to visit this place while I was on a layover in Massachusetts. Experts agree, though, that there were certainly some wild fowl, possibly goose, duck, served along with the venison and brought by the native men. He said that those were the only food items that were explicitly mentioned. However, there is no direct evidence proving, in fact, that turkey was served. Incidentally, 3 days later, the settlers were once again at war with the natives. That treaty meant nothing. This holiday wasn't made official until 1863, when President Abraham Lincoln declared it as kind of a gracious thank you for the Civil War victories in Vicksburg and Gettysburg. It was in this holiday Thanksgiving proclamation that he declared it would be a new holiday celebrated the last Thursday of November. That was then it was first known as Thanksgiving. Something to consider. As time marches on and we become more educated, the focus of the holiday being around the celebration of that first Thanksgiving in Plymouth started to change. The narrative began to shift, and people became uncomfortable mentioning and celebrating the devastation and destruction of a people by colonial invasion and settlement. As this move occurred, more of a focus on this to be the official start of the holiday season became more important, a time to be with family. This was a good time of year dedicated to spend with family over good food. In some families, football might be involved, because there are always games to be found on Thanksgiving Day. Flip the channel, there's football. I don't know, I don't follow anything, home run, basketball, I don't care. Give me hockey. Black Friday, though, became established as a retail tradition in the late 1950s. It was on this day of the year many retailers went from being in the red, being negative, to being in the black, being even. For many years, it was common for these retailers to open at 6 a.m., but in the late 2000s, many crept to 5, or 4, 3. This was taken to a new extreme in 2011 when several major retailers opened at midnight for the very first time on Thanksgiving night. In 2012, Walmart and several other retailers announced that they would be opening most of their stores at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day, prompting calls for a walkout amongst some of the workers. In 2014, stores such as JCPenney, Best Buy, Radio Shack, they all opened at 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day, while stores such as Target, Walmart, and Sears opened at 6 p.m. This trend continued until the pandemic. Now here we are in 2024. A good number of these retailers are no longer, Sears and Radio Shack being ones that bit the dust. After the pandemic, most of the retailers shifted Black Friday sales up the week prior to the holiday, closing on Thanksgiving, but still opening early the day after for doorbuster sales. I've been hearing Black Friday sales being advertised since Halloween, y'all. These specials and sales are so important that people will often camp out in front of their favorite retailer with the hopes of getting a good deal. Instead of celebrating a massacre and enslavement of Native peoples, folks instead seem to be drifting deeper and deeper into the worship of the almighty dollar and perceived savings. You're really not getting savings. Those things are all being discontinued anyway. Have you ever seen the behavior of some people on Black Friday? It can be rather violent. Where's the time spent with family? Where's the joy of seeing relatives you don't see except during the holidays? Where's the meal that was made with love? When are the stories and memories of times past shared? Are we honoring the natives whose ancestors we wiped out and whose land we now live on by getting a good deal on a television set? I think back to that holiday on Pappy's ranch. What lesson can we take from that? He was born on that ranch, and he raised a gosling from a goose, from a gosling to a gander. That gosling started out nice with the other creatures, but as time progressed, so did his territorialism. He chased off wild birds and squirrels that would occasionally sneak in to get his feed. He became violent toward the ducks and chased off the turkeys. Those two hens were never found, by the way. He got so bad that he had to be separated from all the other life on the ranch. It wasn't until he faced the axe and survived that his attitude changed. Are we destined to become like that Thanksgiving goose? We chased off 90% of the people that lived here before us. We're territorial, becoming isolationist, and we seem to be in a cycle of never-ending consumption. If Black Friday is any indication, will it take an ineffective axe strike across the neck three times for us to learn the error of our ways? There was a line from the Thanksgiving Proclamation by Lincoln that struck me. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they also do with humble penitence for our nation's perseverance and disobedience, command his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in this lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Head to heal the wounds of the nation, to restore it so that it may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Christian language aside, we can learn a lesson that is being taught here. Lincoln was speaking about healing after the Civil War, but we can apply those same principles here and now by acknowledging our colonial past and acknowledging the changes that we're seeing in our government. Native peoples do not celebrate Thanksgiving the way that we do. For them, it is a day of mourning and contemplation. I would like us to adopt a similar attitude toward this holiday. Let us embrace our collective past, wrinkles and all. Let us honor those who came before us, those whose ancestral lands we now occupy. We need to embrace our collective history, learn from it, and we need to teach it to the next generation. We are not exceptional. We are a deeply flawed people, colonial-minded, that are still dealing with the aftermath of the decisions made by those before us, and dealing with the aftermath of those decisions made just 3 weeks ago. We need to see the lessons for what they are: cautionary tales of colonialization and religious zealotry. We need to learn more about the people who lived here before us and honor their contribution to the land and their place in history. Doing this over a meal, shared with both family and friends, would be a fine way to have a new tradition, to create a new tradition that will acknowledge both the past, but allow us to embrace our collective future. George Santayana said, "Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it." Or as the old saying goes, let us not wait for the axe to strike. Otherwise, we could be dealing with a severely kinked neck, or even worse, our collective goose might be cooked. May it be so.